Mr. Stanford, at the Congress, you talked about negative campaigning, which isn't so spread all over Germany and Europe. What is negative campaigning?
Negative campaigning is giving voters useful, relevant information with which to make a choice in the ballot box. That's, you know, you can be talking about how they vote, who they take money from, whether they've broken their promises, what their business records are. That's not beyond the pale of relevant and fair attacks. Those are what most voters consider useful bits of information.
As a negative campaigner, how do you get the information?
Courthouses, legislative libraries, public libraries, the internet, online databases, newspapers, and wherever people store their campaign finance records, ethics commissions usually, that type of thing.
If you find something negative about your opponent, how do you transport it into public?
Well, first you have to verify that it's actually true. Well, many times we look at a piece of information and we think it says one thing. It's very important to vet it to make sure it's absolutely true, or at least that you can defend it. First, what you do with that information after you verify it is to run it through an opinion poll. You find out if voters consider it relevant, consider it accurate, and whether they even care, whether it figures into their decision. Once it's gone through those filters, you can get it into the political bloodstream, in the body politic, in many different ways. You can get it into the newspapers. You can get it out on blogs. You can put it on in mail and send it directly to voters. You can put it on TV or in radio. There are any of the ways that campaigns communicate with voters are ways that you can get negative information to them.
What kind of information can you use for negative campaigning?
The most relevant bits of information concern things like how they vote, who they take money from, whether they're hypocritical, you know, keeping campaign promises or lying, or if they're business candidates, you know, if they are businessmen running for office, what their business records are. Those are by far, the most relevant and fair attacks you can make on a candidate.
Is there a border of stuff you wouldn't use?
Yeah, attacking their children. For example, when Jenna Bush went through very public drinking problems, voters thought it was kind of interesting and funny, but it didn't affect the decision they made about her father. So family problems, past divorces, long ago affairs, if it was a generation ago, those things are generally considered out of bounds and irrelevant.
When you're doing negative campaigning, it's not only important to know about the flaws of your opponent, but also of your own. What is behind that?
You need to know what your flaws are because, you know, your campaign team doesn't know you as well as everyone else does. So your campaign team needs to know if you have a problem paying your taxes, if you, were arrested for selling cocaine at one time. These are things that generally should be known by your campaign team so they don't start attacking your opponent for being weak on drugs or for not paying his own taxes.
So what do you do about the flaws of your client? Is there a way to take them out of public, or do you just have to be prepared for the attack?
Occasionally, there are some overzealous campaigns that will take the public records and lose them, so it'll be impossible to find them. That most often happens in South Texas or in New Jersey or in very corrupt places. Generally, these are public records. Anyone can find them. It's important to know about them first. So sometimes it is wise to get them out there and explain it in a way that is most beneficial to you. If you adopted, in the case of John McCain, if you adopted an Indonesian child, it might be better to have explained that to South Carolina voters before the Bush campaign accused him of fathering an out-of-wedlock black baby. It's much better to explain the simple things. Usually, though, you just want to prepare. If you can't defend it, if it's really bad, like if you were arrested for beating your kids, then you kind of need to have some answer prepared, but you're also going to need to know what your counterattack is so that you don't spend 2 days wondering what to say, so that as soon as they say it, you say X, Y, or Z, and then you go on the counterattack and try to change the subject as quickly as possible. It's speed kills in campaigns, and the preparation helps you react quickly.
Let's build a connection to the actual campaign for presidency.
Yeah.
Is there, in your opinion, a very important case of negative campaigning so far, or what do you expect?
I think the 3 a.m. ad that Hillary Clinton did against Barack Obama was very effective.
Maybe you could tell us about this ad.
There's a mythology about being president that a phone will ring. There's the red phone. It comes from the Cold War that supposedly, you know, the Kremlin had a red phone and the White House had a red phone. And so there's this mythology that a president could get a call in the middle of the night saying the bombs are flying, there's a terrorist attack or something. Hillary Clinton did a 3 a.m. ad saying at 3 a.m. if the phone rings, you know, which president's going to be ready to hear it. And she did, it was all these pictures of white children sleeping comfortably in their little middle class beds. And the implication, of course, is that black Barack Obama was completely unprepared to protect all the white children of America. And she won Texas largely because of that ad, I think. And if she had lost Texas, her campaign would have been over. The reason that ad worked is because Barack Obama didn't answer it forcefully and quickly enough. The big test is how quickly can you defend yourself and how forcefully. And Barack Obama did not meet the test that time.
In this case, where is the real background for that? I mean, Hillary Clinton, she just gave the people a feeling, didn't she?
It was a completely unfair and irresponsible attack. It depressed his vote. It depressed he was a surge voter. There are all these people that voted for Barack Obama who'd never voted before. Those are the people who are most susceptible to this kind of irresponsible negative campaigning. It kept them home a little bit. His numbers started to go down. So, yeah, the ad was completely beyond the pale of what responsible political speech is and what could constructively help inform a primary debate. So she's going to have to live with it. And she said a lot of other things like that, too. But looking ahead to the general election, both Barack Obama and John McCain have promised to run positive campaigns. That's their whole history. And it would be very difficult for them to step out of those roles without losing their credibility with the voters. So it could be very interesting to see a positive presidential campaign from both campaigns. We haven't seen the like for, not in the television age. We've never seen something like this. So it could happen.